Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Fluently Forward. I am joined today by a comedian, podcaster, legend on TikTok, Hannah Jones. Welcome to the show. How you doing?
I'm doing so good. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited. You live here in Denver, and we've been TikTok mutuals for a while. I was just excited to see that you live in Denver. I came over on your show where you do advice. What's the name of your podcast
again? Help with Hannah Jones.
Help with Hannah Jones, and that was an absolute blast. You are so fucking funny.
So much.
And I'm just so excited to talk all about comedian blind items with you today. And I want this, I was telling Hannah before we started, like, I want this to be fun. I want this to be, you know, a good time. There's just so many pedophiles out there. Like, the blinds are disgusting.
You're describing the experience of getting started in comedy. It's like, I want this to be fun. And then you realize they're like extreme. And like, I don't want to be that person who says that being a predator is on a spectrum, because it's obviously like right and wrong and everybody has their line, but it's insane how common it is. And like everyone has to like choose their own personal line of like what they're okay with putting up with.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, it's like a game of Frogger. And to get to the comedy store, you have to dodge like pedophiles and like guys who only date like 14-year-olds. And it just feels like, I don't know, comedians to me, I think some of them are great. I think a lot of them are like stunted and then they get famous and just like do the weirdest stuff I've ever
seen. It's also like, and I got kind of lucky, because I would say like this generation of comedians, being a degenerate is not necessarily like a core part of the identity of being a comic the way that it was even just like 10 or 20 years ago. It was like so the core thing.
And it's funny too how even like John Mulaney, right? I feel like his identity, I don't know, he was giving very much like accountant businessman whenever I saw him. And then he turned out to be a degenerate in disguise, basically. So how often do you think comedians are the persona that like they put on when they do stand up?
I don't know. Cause I always like, so Anthony Jeselnik is a great example of someone who like puts on like hardcore degeneratism. But if you ever listen to him like talk about life, he makes me so happy. He seems like the most well-adjusted dude of all time. He has great vibes. He seems like he would be a great hang if a little acerbic. But I think that you just absolutely never know what someone's like behind closed doors. And I think that in general, you're gonna find more bad qualities in anyone who's extremely successful, right? Because like, what is wrong with you as a person that you were able to essentially like to achieve at an extremely high level? Usually you don't have time to also be like well-rounded and have a lot of community and be like nice and fun. So it does kind of handpick.
The people at the top are usually the, you know, the narcissistic, sociopathic, very, very driven.
It's like, why do you enjoy the lifestyle of touring 52 weeks a year? You're going to be the best comedian if you don't take any fucking weekends off, for sure. But it also might say something about your personality.
Yeah, that's the one thing. Whenever I listen to interviews of comedians, they're always like, I hate going on tour. It's the loneliest, almost like traumatic experience. And you have to do it to succeed, but it absolutely sucks. And I hear that from artists too. What's your experience like going on tour?
Okay. I've only been on little trips that I call a tour.
You've been, but you've been on tour. You're on tour right now.
But specifically when I'm like going on a trip, I mean, the great thing about comedy, when you're at my level, is that you're often doing shows with other people and other people that you specifically know. When you get to be more successful than me and you're doing like clubs and stuff, you don't necessarily get to pick who you're performing with every night, and they're not going to be your friends or your vibe. But for me, I only do like indie venues. And so it'll either be like a show with six people, or it'll be my own show where I picked my friends in that city to open. So it's not as lonely, but I think if I was just touring around with like a random handful every night, I would get so exhausted.
Yeah, I imagine. It's something I would just like, I don't know, never want to do.
I would have to like wipe my tears with all the money I'd be making.
So I guess it's not all bad.
Comfort myself with my free 9 to 5 days.
Now, who are some of your favorite comedians out there? Like anyone from SNL, any stand-ups, any people in movies that you're just like, these people are the number one to me?
My all-time favorite is Maria Bamford.
Okay.
My favorite comedian that a lot of people, that isn't a household name, shall we say, is Beth Stelling. and Nicole Byer.
Okay, now name someone I would know who's like a
You don't know Maria Bamford?
No.
That's totally fine. That's totally allowed. Okay.
I'm talking like a Seinfeld.
Household name. Yeah. I love Taylor Tomlinson. Whitney Cummings.
Okay, I know Whitney Cummings.
Yeah, there we go.
I know Whitney Cummings, so there we go. She's in here, I think, for a couple different lines.
For the most part.
Now, what kind of gossip in the comedy world have you heard of that would be considered like a comedy open secret? Like, I remember when the news came out that Louis C.K. was jerking off, you know, into plants on women, in front of women, and allegedly, by the way, I've heard from people he's still doing the same shit post-cancellation. That everybody was like, yeah, that's an open secret. And I was like, disgusting. But everybody seemed to be kind of cool with it. Are there other nasty secrets like that that just float around?
Totally. Most of the secrets are going to be about like who is secretly like not good enough at comedy. So they need like, and this is very occasionally like a headliner won't be good enough. And so they'll like pick, they like won't be okay with everyone opening for them. Cause they'll be afraid they'll get buried or it'll be like, who is secretly a fucking addict, which is more so sad than anything else, or who's secretly an asshole. But my favorite open secret that like everybody knows that I found genuinely quite shocking, because again, it's like a public persona thing and I can't say the name because I can't.
Oh, okay. Make it a blind item. We'll try to guess it. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
This.
I didn't even know the last 12 you said, so you're safe. So.
A-minus list.
Okay, that's good. Male or female?
Male.
Okay.
Religious.
Comic.
Yes, comic. Is secretly so, so mean. I've known like 6 people who have met him / spent extended time with him, and every single person has said that he is just like extremely unkind at every possible turn.
It's Ellen. No, I'm just kidding.
And it shocks me because every comedian, and especially if they're a woman, there's someone who will say like, oh, I met her and she's a bitch. And I hear one story and I completely write it off because like you can meet pretty much anybody. Any of my friends, I'm sure there's a person in the world who has met that person and thought they were a huge cunt. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Not all of us are going to be like perfect every day. But once it gets to be like more than 3 people, that's when I really start being like, oh, this person, they must be like deeply cruel.
Now, can you say what religion? Or would that give it away?
I think it might give it away. No, I can say Christianity. There
okay,
we go.
Okay. So a shitbag Christian out there. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to think on it, ponder it. I probably don't know who it is, but maybe somebody listening will. Write it in on Instagram if you do. Now, my other question for you before we get into the blind items, do you have a favorite Comedy Central roast? Because I love them all. The roast of Donald Trump, the one of James Franco, Justin Bieber. Like, I just love a good roast.
I think it's funny that you asked this, because when it comes to favorites, there's this old saying that like your favorite SNL cast is just whoever was on SNL when you were in high school. Mm. Like that's the comedy that for some reason gets burned into your heart. And so the only Comedy Central roast that immediately comes to mind as being a favorite is the roast of Justin Bieber.
Yes.
Because I feel like that's the one that I was exposed to when I was like ready to understand what a roast is. But yeah. I specifically remember that's the first time that I saw Natasha Leggero do like anything.
Yes.
And her joke about Kevin Hart going up on his way is like one of my favorite roast jokes of all time, because I just like jokes that are shorter than you expect.
I also love, and I'm positive Justin Bieber did not write his own script, but no. At the end when he goes like, what do you get when you give a teenager, you know, $1 billion, like a bunch of has-beens calling you a lesbian for 3 mm-hmm. hours, and I was like, oh god. And he delivered it with like such, he was in that blue suit, that was when he looked
and
really
honestly,
good.
Honestly, I'll say that like they usually, so like they'll put together a team of like 5 established comedy writers that will like meet with Justin Bieber that depends on, like, on what the project is. But, like, a lot of times, like, if Justin Bieber, like, wanted to be on a Comedy Central roast, it might be because he also, like, came into that meeting with ideas. Mm. And you would be surprised. Like, he probably had a ton of creative input. I don't know if that joke was his, but there's a chance.
Yeah, he's like, do something about me being a lesbian, you know? Like, let's weave it
if
in
not,
there.
If not, it was just an underpaid writer making basically minimum wage, which yeah, sucks.
I know, but God, was it so good. I'm going to look in to see if they get credited, because at the very least, like, there should be something in there.
Today's episode of Fluently Forward is brought to you by Next Evo. I know that this week we are talking about comedians, but do you want to know what's not a laughing matter? Stress, okay? And feeling anxious and trouble sleeping. And that is where Next Evo CBD comes into play. So Next Evo Naturals, my favorite product of theirs is the CBD gummy. These are ones that I like to keep on my work desk and just kind of pop one whenever I feel a little bit stressed, or at nighttime if I'm having trouble sleeping, I've got some of those thoughts racing and I really just want to chill out and go to bed. So if you can't find relief through stand-up comedy or giggling over your favorite comedian, go and check out Next Evo Naturals. Not only do they have CBD gummies, they also have sleep support complex pills that you can take, and those have CBD and ashwagandha, which I've also been taking lately and love. So you can upgrade to better natural solutions from Next Evo Naturals. Go to nextevo.com and use the promo code FLUENTLY to get 25% off. That is 25% off at nextevo.com. with the promo code FLUENTLY.
Well, before we get into all of the blind items, I want to start with one kind of long blind here that really fascinated me. It was about Jay Kotler and Andrew Schultz or whatever, basically these like bro-y comedy podcasts that are out there. I always notice that there are a ton of OnlyFans and sex workers on this podcast. And I was always like, what is like the overlap between OnlyFans and like male podcasts where I'm always seeing them go on? Mm-hmm. So this blind item is called The Hustle. It says, lots of people are involved in the same type of behavior, but most of them you would never be able to guess. So I'm going to limit it to a few that you probably can get. One is an A-list athlete podcaster. One is an A-minus list comic podcaster. And the third also falls into the same category. All of the people who participate in this have a ton of underage fans. They have legal fans too, and they target them, but they're really targeting the underage ones. In exchange for sex and a cut of the earnings, the male hosts will bring on women who are porn stars or OnlyFans stars and have them come on and basically talk about sex for an hour while dressed in very little. Every few minutes, the OnlyFans site will be mentioned, and it is astonishing the number of subscriptions sold while this is going on. Most of these are kids with their parents' credit cards or using a Venmo card to make their way around the age requirement. Then the model will tease something that she's about to post, usually a video. She'll charge $50 for it. Then that happens at the end of the hour. Most of the time, in an hour appearance, there can be mid six figures made. The host takes 20%, and of course the sex, and the model can talk about how she makes hundreds of thousands of dollars a month doing OnlyFans and get other women to join her. Have you heard about this?
Okay, I feel like I understood that was the grift behind. I'll like occasionally see TikToks and it'll be like the beginning of a stitch, right? Because I'm not seeing the actual videos, but it'll be a podcast clip and there will be like a line of four OnlyFans girls.
I know, I've seen the stitches.
Two conservative fours in Iowa looking dudes are just like asking them,
what's your body count?
Yeah, very pointed questions, and they always go super, super mega viral because... I mean, like, just putting beautiful people in your video makes it perform better. And obviously, like, the men are, they're no Matt Rife, you know? They're not getting the views on their own. So I understood the grift. I never understood that perhaps they were trading sex for it.
Yeah, or getting a cut of, like, whatever profits they make on OnlyFans that day. Because I was always just thinking, I don't know, like, Adam22, I know he's not really, like, a comedian, but, like, he's always having those types of girls on. I see all of those TikTok videos, and I was wondering, like, why are all the OnlyFans girls going on? Like, to me, it makes sense that comedians have podcasts because they're talking all the time, that, like, script writers would have podcasts, you know. I don't know, like an artist or like a shoemaker, you know, like if your job isn't verbally expressing yourself, like I don't understand why people would go on podcasts all the time.
I can answer why.
Yeah.
Because you want podcast fans. Everybody wants a podcast fan because a podcast fan is like a different breed of fan. And podcasters are by and large like men who are ready to be obsessed with something. And you're going to make all your fucking OnlyFans money from men who are ready to be obsessed with something, ideally fucking you.
Yeah.
Like I would think if I was an OnlyFans Trans Girl, I would make money off of no one more than the male podcast audience.
I guess that's how you have to think about it. See, I'm coming at it where like basically 98% of people who listen to this podcast are women for the most part. But I guess if I had to capture a male audience, I would go on like a bro-y podcast 100%.
Yeah, well, and think about the fact that like they, like men, a lot of times, I'm generalizing men to be like the kind of like shitty objectifying ones. If they're desperate for pussy, they are still going to go out on a date with a girl. Because it is still more fun to like have sex with a girl that you've like talked to for an hour, even if they're not the type of guy who's going to listen to anything that she says. Mm. Like, I think it really builds into the fantasy that you've like heard her speak for an hour. You can picture her voice.
Ah, I'm not going to lie. I listened to, what's that girl who's obsessed with anal? Stella Berry. I listened to her on Sophia Franklin's podcast. I bought her OnlyFans for a month. It wasn't good. And then I unsubscribed. But yeah, I don't know why I'm acting surprised when I've done the same damn thing myself.
I could never give her a dime, but I love her vibe.
Yeah, her OnlyFans, I hate to say it, is trash. It's just not that good. It's the type of thing where they get you in with $10 and then to like actually watch a video, you have to pay $50. Yeah. And I was just so mad about being swindled that I like rage canceled.
Because you don't get a ton of, like they take such a huge cut of the membership fees.
Do they? It's like Patreon or something.
So you want to keep that amount low, but you make all your money off of the other stuff.
Okay, there we go. Yeah, from what I've heard too. I've never done it before. Okay, Matt Rife, we're going to talk about him. He is the pillowy lips comedian that everybody is talking about now, and he's gone viral on TikTok. I'm sure you've seen his stitch where he's like working out or something, and then he's saying, oh, like it's hard to be so attractive because like when you come on stage, like nobody wants to like laugh at somebody when they're checking out your arms.
Unattractive, who is attractive.
Yes, and then everybody started like obviously dogging on him.
Have you ever seen women? If an attractive man is in the room, we just start laughing. We're literally like, oh my God. I was at Starbucks today and the man who handed me my drink was attractive and I just stumbled over my words and was like laughing as I was like, thank you.
No, it's true.
It's so easy to get laughs.
Like,
when
we might
attractive.
Not chortle, but we'll giggle for sure because somebody's cute.
It's like that article from The Atlantic that I couldn't read because it was behind the paywall. But, or maybe it was The Economist, but it was talking about how, like, it's financially reasonable for women to want to be thin.
Yes.
Like, it's not, it doesn't make me happy to say it, but it is like you make so much more money. People assume, like, the halo effect is 10 times more powerful than any like weird jealousy or objectification Matt Rife thinks that he's like receiving on stage.
What's the halo effect?
The halo effect is the term to describe how people who are more attractive by conventional beauty standards, obviously, are seen as nicer, more smarter.
Yeah, you're more likely to hire them.
Whatever
I've heard.
100%.
Did you ever read? We did this for our Patreon book club a couple months ago. The Pretties series.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So like,
I loved those books.
Anyone who hasn't read it, it's like this YA sci-fi book. It's so good. We're basically in the future. They live in this world where once you turn 16, the government gives you plastic surgery to make you like perfectly symmetrical. And they did that because like they ran all of these studies and they found to make things more equitable, everyone had to be like hot.
And what's better, they make you dumb too.
Yeah.
They make you a dumb and then they give you a fuck ton of cocaine and you just go around and fuck for 4 years.
And they make your pussy tight and wet. Yeah. That's in the X-rated
literally
book.
I was like, what's the problem? Mm-hmm. Dystopia? Absolutely not. This is why a utopia.
Yeah. Honestly, that's the thing. Like people either read, and we discussed this in the book club, half the people were like, that's heinous. And then the other half were like, give me the pill. Like literally. I would absolutely go for
I've seen the alternative. It's
it's not that great out there.
Yeah.
So Matt Rife, he looks like one of the people that basically got surgery to look symmetrical and flawless. His blind items are interesting. Before we get into them, how do you feel about him as a comedian? Do you think, is he well respected? He seems to be going on the up and up.
Okay, so I've heard so many comics talk shit about him. Like, they hate this dude.
Are they just jealous of his arms?
Well, they're obsessed with talking about how he's only successful because he's attractive, which I don't think is true, because I've never heard anyone knock his resume. Like, I've never... If guys can't fucking hold up the time and can't put on a good show, comedians will say, like, that guy doesn't have the time.
Yeah.
Which happens a lot if people get, like, famous too soon before they actually... actually have amassed enough material or experience as a comic to really justify it. But I've never heard anyone specifically say that about him. I've definitely heard people say, like, he does so much crowd work that it's not really, if you don't love crowd work,
I've heard that
it's not always the most amazing show.
Nowadays, like, they have to do more crowd work because then they clip it, put it on TikTok. That's what gets them noticed. They can't really clip their jokes because then it would ruin their set. Is that true?
For a guy like Matt Rife, who is in a cycle where he is building material to sell for a lot of money for another special, absolutely, he's not going to be posting any of that material. Crowd work is all he can post. Crowd work or podcast clips, which is why you see most comedians doing a lot of crowd work and a lot of podcasts.
Yeah, they're on OnlyFans.
Yeah.
They're trying to promote it.
But, I mean, that's changing a lot. There's definitely, like, I've also talked to comedians who are in the special cycle and maybe not as many people are paying attention to them. And they're like, yeah, I post the best joke I have. Yeah. And then if Netflix buys the special, I take the fucking joke down. Yeah. No Netflix exec is keeping track of my material and what's been seen and what hasn't been seen. And I think by and large, audiences have changed a lot where, like, if you tell a joke that they've heard, sometimes they like it and sometimes they want to hear your best jokes.
Mm.
But yeah, there's mixed opinions within the scene about everything.
Okay, well, here are some of the blind items on Matt Rife, and I'm curious if you could see any of these being true. The first one says, the problem with this A-list comedian that women love is that he is addicted to getting fillers in his face, and at some point it is going to go horribly wrong. Do you think he's gotten work done? I think veneers that could have, like, changed his face, but he does, old photos of him look like the photos of, like, a young Victoria's Secret model where, like, you can tell that she's, like, a gangly tomboy, but she's going to be beautiful with a little bit of work.
I think that he has gotten work done in the sense that I think he has invested probably thousands of dollars in his appearance. Mm. I could see it potentially not being fillers, right? Okay. Like, this is the Kim Kardashian thing. When Kim Kardashian got an x-ray of her butt and was like, see, no implants, and it's like, because no one knew what a BBL was back then.
Oh, you think he's gotten some sort of, like, a ponytail facelift?
No, I think that he's probably gotten some Botox. I think he's gotten a really expensive skin treatments because acne doesn't just like
you turn off
like that. Like, I think that boy does skin care.
Yeah.
And I think that the veneers gave him the jawline. And does he have lip fillers? I could see it go either way, especially, or like the jaw fillers that they put right back here. But you can also get that look. I'm pretty sure there's a certain kind of Botox that you can put back here.
And yeah, you can do masseter Botox that kind of slims your face. I could also see him too being on like those Red Pill Men forums where they're like, you chew this hard type of gum, or like there's a thing that like you put in your jaw and like Joe Rogan like chews on it to make your jaw big.
I feel like also I bet he does steroids in the gym.
Oh yeah, totally. His body is like insane.
Which is like the boy version of a BBL, right?
Kind
it's like
of.
Pretty dangerous and like kind of crazy that you would prioritize it that much, but also like, do you?
And also it's way more common than you would think.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, he's dated some famous ladies. The first one is Lucy Hale from Pretty Little Liars and a bunch of Hallmark movies that have failed.
Because they're the exact same kind of like Skechers ad pretty. Like, they're the same brand of attractive where it's like, certainly not my type, but like, I can definitely see how people would find you hot.
Dude, Skechers is so, yeah, they're not serving Free People. They're not giving runway. Yeah,
they're serving this shoe burns more calories than any other shoe.
Like the hottest person on the Disney Channel that then like graduated or something, you know? Okay, well, this rumor about Lucy Hale and Matt says, this A-list actress was a hit on cable and crashed and burned on her latest projects when she was going to be the lead. She also said she never saw someone look in a mirror more than when she went out on a few dates with the stand-up comic. And I believe that. He's probably vain. Then, after Lucy Hale, he dated another actress named Jessica Lord. And this says, is it true that a certain popular with the ladies comedian and his current dancer actress girlfriend are represented by the same agent and are engaged in a PR relationship? Lots of tea about his constant hookups, influencers, actresses, and TikTok stars on the road. And since signing on to do a world tour, he seems to be cleaning up his image. She's also not working and not all that known. Her followers on social media have increased since being tied to him. Do you think he's faking relationships?
So curious about PR relationships. I wish I like knew someone, because in the celebrity gossip community, everyone's like, yes, PR relationships are like super common.
But no, they're doing it too much lately. Like,
really?
I mean, I think for sure, like the fact that like, you know, Kristen Stewart and Rob Pattinson date right when the movie comes out, and Vanessa Hudgens and Zac Efron date right when the movie come out, and every Spider-Man and every Mary Jane are dating right when the movie comes out.
But it's always like, of course they are. Because they're like two hot people who literally aren't allowed to meet anybody else for 6 months. If you go into a movie single, of course you're going to date the fucking co-star. They handpicked a person who is your same level of obscene attractiveness. To me, it's like it would be more surprising if they didn't actually fall in love. In my theory, a PR relationship is two people hooked up and they decided to go public mostly because of the positive PR benefits. Mm. Whereas they're probably hooking up with plenty of like random DJs that they meet at a club, but they're not gonna like go public with that because it's
so you're thinking of like a PR relationship that benefits their own like Instagram following rather than benefits movie ticket sales or something.
I guess like my kind of like theory about PR relationships is like, sure, there are some that are completely fabricated because mm-hmm. we know that there have been a few, yeah. but I think the majority of them are just like exaggerated and come from like a seed of truth.
Yeah, no, I'm with you too. I used to be one of those people that was like, it's completely false and there's like a contract, and like now I'm like, well, I think that there's like a little bit,
because they also like, if you actually think about what legal work would go in, would be required to like support a PR relationship, it's like there's so many, they could never enforce that contract. That contract would be so fake and silly, because if they tried to enforce it in a court, it would be, there would be ethical issues
and it would be found out.
So I think most things that we think of as PR relationships are like, they went public because they knew it'd be good. They were just hooking up. It was so casual. They broke up and they didn't go public with the breakup until they had a fucking reason to. And that's why I also think you see people hopping from relationship to relationship. But I think it's just because they don't go public with the breakup until it's convenient for them. Like, how yeah. long were Taylor and Joe broken up before she before
anytime like to go public? A celebrity divorces, right? And then they're like, oh my God, they're already in a relationship. And it's like, by the time the divorce was finalized, like there was a yeah. chance they could have been separated for a whole year before, you know, but people
legally
don't really think on that timeline.
At least 6 months.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm with you. Okay. So we think maybe he hooked up with Jessica Lorde, but it wasn't like a contractual PR relationship.
That's my theory.
Now this one, it wouldn't be a blind item episode until we got to this one. He's closeted, basically. I don't know. I think that's true. If you're that fucking attractive, you're probably pansexual and you're hooking up with everyone, but I don't think he's gay.
I don't think, based on his career in comedy, because usually bi men
aren't funny.
Are milking for spots.
Oh!
They want to be on all the queer shows. So I think that if he was yeah. gay, he would have been out as bi.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm sure if he even kissed a guy once, he would have been like, put me in the circuit, you know? Yeah. Like, I can talk about the gay experience.
Absolutely. It's not the same year as it once was. He's gaining nothing by being straight.
Yeah, okay. That's a good point.
Today's episode is brought to you by Bowl and Branch. I've been using their bed sheets lately, and you can probably tell because in about, I'd say, maybe 60% of all of my TikTok videos, I'm making them in bed, and maybe that's because the sheets are so comfortable. So if you see any of those videos, those are the natural color sheets behind me, and I have just been absolutely loving having the sheets on my bed. So Bowl and Branch is different because they make soft, luxurious sheets, but they don't have any toxins or any harsh chemicals. And something that's great about the Bowl and Branch sheets is that they actually get softer and softer with every wash, which is kind of the opposite of what a lot of my clothing and other bed sheets have done in the past. So I love investing in good, high quality essentials, and Bowl and Branch is just absolutely fantastic. They feel like butter. They're very, very breathable from night one. It makes me very pumped to go to bed. So if you want to sleep better at night with Bowl and Branch sheets, you can get 15% off your first order. Use promo code FLUENTLY at bowlandbranch.com. That's Bowl and Branch, BOLLAND branch.com, with the promo code FLUENTLY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Now, Eric Andre, what are your thoughts on him? I wish the show Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23 was still on, because I thought he was great in it. He sometimes terrifies me, but I also think he's hilarious.
I like Tim and Eric, mm-hmm. but then I heard that during his own live shows, he gets fully naked. And I'm sure that like nudity is like so funny in the right context, but for me personally, I don't want to see a comedian naked ever.
When
ever.
I was like out of college, I was planning my sister's bachelorette party, and mm-hmm. it was the first bachelorette party I'd ever done, and I got a a stripper off of Craigslist to come, and it was great. He was like a firefighter. We planned this whole thing. We're one, the drunkest girl at the party. We acted like she started a fire in the kitchen, and we're freaking out. My sister was like, "What?" And then we had him come in through the back door and say, oh, like, "Anyone need a hose?"
Wait, that's so good.
It was fun. I think the best surprises come when there's an element of like, "Oh fuck," before, and then you get surprised. So
I
it's
love
even
the
better.
Contrast between that and like if a dude hires a stripper for a bachelor party, it's probably just like she. All the dudes are sitting around passing a bong, and she's like, "Did someone order a nurse?" And they're like, "No. Oh, that's a stripper. Take your clothes off."
Yes.
Like you were like, "Okay, narrative, no yeah. plot holes.
There has to be a story, you know? I want it to mean something." But he started dancing for us, and he ended up getting fully naked, and this was the first time I'd ever hired a stripper. And like he did this thing where like his wang went like up and down, and we had to like throw necklaces on it. But it was the type of thing too where I was like,
wait,
"I'm not
like you're playing horseshoes."
Yeah, we played horseshoes. We played horseshoes.
Ring toss?
Yeah, with his dick basically. Anyway, it was a fun party, but I was also like afterwards, I'm asking, I'm like, "This is my first one. Like, do they all get naked?" And everyone was like, "Shannon, no. Like, you got a Craigslist stripper who like put his dick like inches from our face," and it. Let me tell you, like, it did feel uncomfy. Like, you want the little piece of cotton. It just makes you feel better. Like, full nudity, like, is a little bit uncomfortable.
It's so uncomfortable. I hate it. I don't think it's funny at all.
Yeah.
Because you have to be, I don't know.
A little bit hammered. Anyway, so Eric Andre, these blinds are about him dating Emily Ratajkowski. There was one that says, "This comic, whatever, popped multiple edibles and was vaping nonstop on his most recent date with the model." Multiple edibles is insane. Multiple edibles?
No, it's not insane. You haven't met comics.
Really?
I know so many comics that will go. It's absolutely fucking insane. I once was at a comedy festival and a comic like came in late, did a shot at like 3 p.m. And was like, "Okay, I'm going to go nap in my car." Took a 2-hour nap. Then took, I want to say like 20 milligrams worth of edibles.
Jesus.
Right before his set. And not right before, like right with time for it to kick in before his set, because that's like baseline for him.
Oh my God. That's you know what I do? I split a 2 milligram in half and it sends me to the moon every night. I really can't fathom that.
Yeah, I once fainted from a 5 milligram edible.
Yeah, me too. Like 20, really? 20 is insane. Like sometimes I take edibles and I'm like, actually the war on drugs like should actually be go harder. Like yeah. This shit is
But
you know,
I also
dangerous.
Just think that like people genetically respond so different to weed. Yep. Because every time that I've also met like a true pothead, they also like won't really love alcohol.
Yeah.
And they won't get alcohol the way that I get alcohol. Yeah. Like, alcohol was made for me.
I understand Sauvignon Blanc so fucking well.
Yeah.
I'm with
I
you.
Took my first sip of wine from a bag in college and I was like, "Oh, it's the antidote to everything in my brain. That's fantastic. I can only have a little bit of this.
You
or
Irish?
Else I will go off the rails." Yes.
Okay, yeah. You know, just sometimes you have a drink and you're just like, "Oh, it's like solution
so
juice,"
I think,
you
like,
know?
Some people take an edible and that's what they feel like.
Yeah. Interesting. We'll have to trace it back. There was also one that said, the Eric Andre wanted sex as a part of the deal with Emily Ratajkowski, which she said crossed a line. So I think that's kind of trying to allege to some sort of PR thing.
I love the idea that like it's a secret that Eric Andre wanted to fuck Emily Ratajkowski. It's like, okay, get in line. I do too. I would also ask
it's
to have
blind,
sex with
blind. It's alleged.
If I was ever in this same
yeah,
room
it's like, no, that's a fucking fact, you know? I will say the picture of them on Valentine's Day, do you remember it? They were both like naked in his apartment. And she put a picture on Instagram. It was the most disgusting picture I've ever seen in my life. And I'm trying to be sex positive, but the
like
apartment.
I feel like I can understand that the background was that they were hanging. Maybe they fooled around a little bit. Maybe they didn't. Mm-hmm. They were hanging. And like she definitely is like switching up her brand and wants to be perceived as like a cool art high level culture. And like weirdly enough, I think he is associated with that because he's such a like cool, absurdist, weird dude. And she was like, yeah, absolutely. Two people famously have been seen naked by a lot of people.
Like, that's true. They could bond
that's
over
like
that,
their
you know?
The only thing they have in common is actually that a lot of people have seen them naked.
I always say me and Elon Musk would actually get along so well because we've both gotten cosmetic work done. And I just feel like we could actually bond over it, like being vain enough to go under the knife. And like we could talk about it, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, Bobby Lee, we were talking about this one. His blind item is basically, I don't think a lot of people know that years ago, he went on, what was it, a podcast, right?
No, I think it was radio to promote a show.
Oh,
if
okay.
If I remember correctly, because I listened to the clip today when you sent it, because I had heard nothing about this.
Yeah, and I'm surprised you hadn't, because, like, so Bobby Lee, I thought he was so funny. Like, I listened to, what was it called? Tiger Belly.
And I love Kalila.
Yes, I think she's so great, so beautiful.
As of now, I don't know if she...
Oh, yeah, but they've broken
up,
right?
Apparently you could just find out about something horrible.
Yeah, I'm
tomorrow.
Like, oh, she's also a pedophile now. Nothing bad about her yet, but Bobby Lee... He told this story basically about how he went down to Tijuana, Mexico, and he was soliciting a prostitute, and it was a child who did not want to have sex with him, and he had sex with her, and she was crying during it. And that was the story that he told of raping a kid. And he was trying to spin it as like a bit, and then people go back and forth on like, was it a joke? Was it not? Did it actually happen? It was the most disgusting thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, it was baseline disgusting that he thought that was like a funny, cool story to tell. The way that he told it, he was like, we didn't know how old they were. And then he was really emphasizing the fact that she looked like a kid,
mm-hmm.
Which is like so sad. I could, unfortunately, very much believe that it was something that never fucking happened, but that he genuinely thought would be like so funny and edgy to tell as a story, because that is how some comedians are, for sure.
Yeah,
it bummed me out.
Me too. And like, here's the thing, like, sometimes dark humor is funny. It wasn't even fucking funny. Like, there was no, it was just like nasty listening to it. But anyway, he obviously is in the reboot of And Just Like That. So this blind item says, the former late night actor is once again reminding the world that he cannot be canceled. He thinks that because he wasn't canceled the first time he mentioned he raped a little girl in Mexico, that nothing will happen to him now if he mentions it again. I wonder what the cast of the rebooted iconic HBO show think about him being on the show almost every episode. Do they have a comment? Were you surprised to see him on And Just Like That?
No, I'll be honest. I didn't see him on And okay, on
you weren't
and
watching.
Just Like That.
Yeah.
But also straight up, he can't be canceled, because the only reason that HBO would do anything is if they believed this specific story was going to significantly affect viewership of that specific show. And there's no way that it would, because that show's viewership is by and large old. As fuck, and has never heard of Bobby Lee, and aren't going to see any headlines about Bobby Lee. I'm not sure that they have like name recognition for him in that show, right? Because they're Sex and the City fans.
Yeah.
They're like older women. And Bobby Lee's fan base is not going to stop buying tickets to his shows because of this story. So like, who would he be canceled by? And that's how it is for most comics. I mean, like, in general, most people cannot be canceled because there are 15,000 million individual gatekeepers who get to make up their own opinion about anything bad that you do.
Mm.
Like, the theory of cancellation is a fiction that was invented by people who were experiencing a PR nightmare.
Mm, yeah.
And they created this counter narrative that cancellation was ruining people's lives commonly. And that's just like not ever happened. Show me one example of a powerful person who got successfully, straight up, hugely canceled, as in don't have a career anymore at all, like are homeless or whatever. Like, the only people are the ones who went in jail to jail in the criminal system.
Yeah.
Everyone else is still working.
Yeah.
Maybe they're not as famous as they were before, but as long as they don't have crazy IRS debt, they'll be literally fine.
Yeah. And I mean, that's like half the people on this list too, right?
The people who usually do suffer like a true cancellation are people who work in normal jobs and have like the book So You've Been Publicly Shamed by John Ronson.
It's a great,
is so
great
fantastic.
Book. Yeah.
And I remember what he talked about was that like the only real examples of public shaming that had like insane effects on people's lives tended to be the regular everyday Joe who had a tweet be taken wildly out of context and lost their fucking job in a sensitive industry. But
yeah.
Like, no, he can't be canceled in the sense that like no comic with a fan base can be canceled.
Yeah. And also too, like it's one of those things where, I mean, you're in comedy and you hadn't heard of the story. So, I mean, it is kind of buried in a good way.
Yeah.
In the sense where like Louis C.K., like everybody knows about him, right? So these things get blown out of different proportions, basically. Brendan Schaub, what do you think of him?
Every single comedian that I've ever heard talked about him just talked nonstop about how much they hate him.
Okay, yeah. So he like seems generally
comedians
disliked.
In general have like are all on the same page.
Okay. There's two lines about him here. One's the A-list comedian slash accused joke stealer has a new wave of accusations from multiple women who say he sexually assaulted them. He laughs it off like it's no big deal.
That's worse than what I've just heard he's a dick.
Yeah, you're like, I just heard he was a dick and not that he was a predator. And then there was this one about him and Whitney Cummings. It says, this female A-minus list stand-up comic says she spent years getting groped and harassed, and then she started hooking up with the UFC guy. He had words with every single male comic who ever touched or harassed the comic, and she has been left alone ever since.
And that was Brendan Schaub?
Allegedly.
Okay, so he's the hero of one story and the villain of
another.
That's a fantastic duality.
So who knows? I mean, you know.
Today's episode of Fluently Forward is brought to you by Pear, a fantastic new sponsor here on the show. They make these fantastic eyewear pieces that are customizable and can be easily changed. So let's say you've got prescription glasses on, but you want to, boom, slap on some lenses for the sun, or maybe you want to change your look. They have such a wide variety of customizable options on their website. I personally am rocking the tortoise outer shell and then the green lenses from them. I feel like that's kind of like old school 90s. I like it. They also have such a wide variety of different wide base frames. So if you want to match your sunglasses or your regular glasses to your face shape, do you have a thin head? Do you have a wide head? I personally have both the women's sunglasses and then also the kids' ones, okay? Because I have, you know, I've got a little bit of a weird shape head, but they have everything that you could possibly need on there. So if you want to change some things up this season and get some new frames from Pear Eyewear, you can go to PearEyewear.com/fluently and get 15% off of your first pair. That's Pair, P-A-I-R, eyewear.com/fluently.
Chris D'Elia. Sick. I just feel like there have been so many. I also find it wild that he was in the show You playing like a sexual predator. And then it came out that it was like, hey, this guy's like a sexual predator. And also I thought it was so interesting that he was like Justin Bieber's like best friend. And like Justin Bieber's like, you're my number one comic, like on speed dial. Mm-hmm. Very fascinating. What have you heard about him other than obviously all of the sexual assault allegations?
I actually don't know that I've ever met anyone who's worked with him.
Oh, okay.
So I haven't heard much, just the sexual assault allegations. I don't know anyone who's like, God, that guy's funny. You know, like he's kind of the like Dane Cook where it's like, you know, that era of comedy that like maybe was like so extremely successful and that kind of he reached a level of celebrity that was a bit overexposed. So I think a lot of comics are just like, meh.
He seems like a shiny Hollywood, like Justin Bieber's friend type of comedian to me. He didn't really seem like a nitty gritty. I don't know. I think he was doing a podcast, but yeah, this blind was basically just saying that he's having a long overdue cancellation. All it took was a documentary highlighting each of the 36 or so times he has been credibly accused. Yeah, of underage sexual assault and grooming and other horrible behaviors.
Holy fuck.
The thing for me is
that he's fucked more teenagers than I have adults.
Yeah.
That's crazy. He's fucked 3 times the amount of teenagers as
or
I have adults.
Tried to. Which is, you know, still just as bad. I don't know if, you know, this actually happened, but you know, these were all accusations. What is your take? I just hear so many different stories. Why are they all underage girls?
Okay. Because most dudes who get into comedy have a core part of their identity that is like, I am not valuable on the sexual marketplace. I am valuable on the sexual marketplace only in like my talent and my sense of humor. Mm. And so they are always going to be looking for whatever like fills that little void and nurtures that little core wound. Mm. And we live in a pedophilic culture. And I think that a lot of dudes who don't even think of themselves as pedophiles just know that like young looking bitches are
like valuable. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you'll hear dudes talking about, and I don't believe that every dude is a pedophile. I think there are a lot more true pedophiles out there than we
realize. Hot take, I don't think every guy's a pedophile.
But I think a lot of guys are like socialized and molded into liking younger women because you'll hear them talk about like, well, of course he's fucking teenagers if he doesn't know she's a teen because teenagers are just hotter. And it's like, I don't actually even think that that necessarily makes you a pedophile. I just think that you should recognize how much you've been socialized into thinking in a pedophilic way. That you just inherently do believe that teenagers are hotter. But by our modern beauty standards, they are hotter.
I guess so. I've just always been so baffled because I just think if I was a male celebrity or someone famous, number one, I'd freeze my sperm and get a vasectomy because, you know, all these guys are like, ooh, I was accidentally knocking people up. Number two, I would always check for like a passport or a license and I would just bang 22 to 28 year olds.
They don't want to see the passport because they're afraid that then I'll be like, well, I guess I can't fuck you now. You're not old enough.
It's just wild to me. Like, I just think there's so many hot people in their 20s. Like, how is that not enough for people? So I think that there must be some sort of power, psychological, like.
Yeah, absolutely. The psychological power. There are a million things about it that unfortunately have been bred into them from a very young age. They're like, this is a hot dynamic. This is a sexy dynamic. And instead of looking inward, they have been surrounded in this lifestyle. Style that keeps you, like, the only way to really keep yourself on the hamster wheel is to have a certain, like, delusional sense of self and have a certain level of narcissism, because, like, self-actualization is not really compatible with the entertainment industry.
Yeah
there is a limit to how much you can grow. A lot of times it will always come into conflict trying to, like, have good morals and stuff, because it's an industry, it's capitalism. Okay, now I'm getting too fringy.
The word capitalism came. Well, let's talk real quick about Jeff Ross, because this was something that I hadn't heard of. Jeff Ross is the guy who basically does every Comedy Central roast, and people are like, oh, look, like one of the ogres from Lord of the Rings showed up or something, and then there's Jeff Ross going like, oh, you know. Anyway, so like, that's how I know of him. Have you heard about him and Jessica Radke?
No. Who's Jessica Radke?
She was a young woman that he dated back in the day. So this story came out on The Cut, and I cannot believe I had never heard of it. So in September 2009, this woman named Jessica, she made a public Facebook page called I Was 15, He Was 33. And she basically wanted to lay out evidence of her sexual relationship with Jeff Ross. She was posting pictures. This isn't funny, but like, one of the pictures, right, was like him kind of groping her. And she says, please note where his hand is on my 15-year-old body. And then the other photo is of them and he's wearing a fedora. And she says, please note the hat in the photo that Jeff is wearing. And at first I was like, yeah, a fedora is a crime. Yeah, but then exactly. In the next photo, she's wearing his hat. So I think that's okay. Why she referenced it. At first I was like, lock him up.
I just love the idea that she's cunty too. She's like, I'm gonna release all this info and I'm going to be petty about it.
And I'm also going to drag him to hell on the runway. Yeah. But anyway, she basically does this video too, detailing her, you know, underage relationship with Jeff Ross. And the video kind of went unnoticed until allegations about Chris D'Elia came up. So then other comedians found her video and surfaced it, and it got like millions and millions of views. So basically this is her story. And by the way, other people have spoken out about this. Amy Schumer said, Jeff is someone I consider a good friend and I love him, but to be honest, he has always had alarmingly young looking girlfriends. Never one I have known to be underage, but alarmingly young looking just the same. And then another comedian who asked to remain anonymous said, Jeff Ross was always with a young girl. That was his girlfriend type. Were his girlfriends 18 and over that I saw him with? Probably, but he was still considerably older. He has that reputation. Jeff Ross has responded to these statements, saying on Twitter, let me be clear. These disgusting allegations asserted against me are absolutely not true. I have never engaged in any sexual relationship with a minor. But in this article with Vulture, there were 7 different sources that confirmed that they were aware of his relationship with a 15-year-old when he was 33. And one of those sources was her fucking father, which is weird. The father like signed off on the relationship. So she
basically. I've heard of that before. That has happened to my friends.
Really?
In high school. Yeah. I had a friend who was like, I want to say 15, and she was dating a 24-year-old, and he met her parents, and her parents were chill with it. I think like they have learned a lot since then. I don't know how that family operates, but like, I think that happening.
Ooh.
A lot.
It also happened in the Jerry Seinfeld Shoshana relationship, which is included in here. So basically she describes the first time she saw him, it was outside the Boston Comedy Club. She was 15, he was 33. She says that she was standing with some guys outside. he walks up. She made a comment being, because he winked at her. She made a comment to her friend being like, oh, wow, like, look at him, like Jeff Ross. And the friend goes, oh, you think he's cute? He's one
She's like, no, but he's very rich.
Yeah, he winked at me. She goes, he's really funny. He's one of the good ones. I'll give you his number. So then she's walking upstairs to her home like the next night, and he called her cell phone, Jeff Ross did. He says, can you meet me outside of my apartment? And then he said, is it okay if I ask your dad if it's okay that you come to the city tonight? It'll be really cool. Maybe we could go to the Comedy Cellar, or we could go somewhere and have coffee. And then Jessica said, yeah, I'd love that. And he goes, do you want me to be your boyfriend? So already he's on the phone with a 15-year-old girl, like asking her out, whatever. According to Jessica, she went to go meet him outside of his apartment, and he said that he had forgotten his credit card. So they never even went out to get like coffee or go to the Comedy Cellar. Instead, they went up to his place. She thought they were getting his wallet. She says, in the elevator, I attacked him. I started trying to kiss him, and he goes, whoa, 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 there's cameras. Not like you're 15, get off of me, but there's cameras. So anyway, that first night they enter his apartment, allegedly. She described it as filthy with South Park stuff and the Man Show shit all over the place. Have you heard of Jimmy Kimmel's The Man Show?
No.
It was like this show he did back in the day that was like very sexist, basically just being like, we're men, we like boobs. And he was like, we're making fun of guys who do stuff like that. But then they would do like all of this like nasty shit to women and be like, it's parody, you know, and it's like, oh, not really, but whatever. So Jessica then alleges that they instantly started making out. She then performed oral sex on Ross, and they had unprotected sex, after which he told her she had to leave. She says, I'd felt like I'd won. I felt very, okay, cool. Like if I never saw him again, cool. She recalls he just kept saying, I can't believe you're only 15. I can't believe it. And then he gave her a hat as a parting gift on the way out. So then
the
horrible, horrible haunted fedora. So then they kind of start this relationship where he would call cars for her to like come over, have sex, and then he would send her home. Then later on, he lets her spend the night. The father confirms the location of his apartment, saying that he had been there once or twice while his daughter was there. Jessica remembers Ross buying her Betsy Johnson dresses and lingerie, always in white, and taking explicit Polaroids of her. She says, he would have a preference that I shave my vagina completely off. He was very mad whenever I wore red lipstick or really dark makeup. He didn't like it if I looked too grown up or too hoary. He liked that I was innocent, and she said they had a lot of unprotected sex during their relationship. So then between 1999 and 2001, they're dating. She says that he keeps various measures to keep their relationships under wraps. He asked me to walk to the other side of the street if we ever left home together. She notes that he was obsessed with the story of Shoshana Lonstein and Jerry Seinfeld. Do you remember that relationship, that Jerry Seinfeld?
I remember it as Jerry Seinfeld dated a 17-year-old.
Yeah, she was still in high school.
That makes sense.
Anyway,
that's very 90s of him.
So that was like another comedian relationship. Jerry was 38 and Shoshana was 17 when they met. And apparently Jeff Ross was obsessed with the book Lolita. So the relationship finally ends. You know, they're traveling together, all of this stuff. They're back at his apartment on Mercer Street in New York, and they're packing up boxes because he's about to move. And she alleges that she's packing books, and she pulls out of books and Polaroids fall out. And she goes, oh, these are like the dirty Polaroids of me. But when she turned the photos over, it wasn't of women. It was of kids without any pubic hair. So she was horrified by the photos. She confronted him and she said, who the fuck are these? And she said that Jeff Ross, take a guess. What do you think he said? This is so fucking classic.
What? I have no guess, dude.
He said,
like, put yourself in the mindset.
Okay, he said, I was just holding on to these for a friend. Which is just like, you've got to be kidding me.
I'm sorry, he doesn't deserve another laugh from the book. That's so funny.
Isn't that awful? So anyway, so then she left, never talked to him again. So this was all done. There was an article in Vulture. There was an article in The Cut. And I can't believe I hadn't heard of any of this. Had you?
No, me either.
Death
but
to
I
Jeff
don't
Ross.
Think of him as like an A-list.
Yeah, think of him as like a C-list. I don't know. But he's in Hollywood movies. He's always on the comedy roast. Like, he's sitting up there. I just think that's so fucking sick.
But that's the thing, is that, like, you have to think about the fact that, like, Jerry Seinfeld did that. Fucking Elvis did that. Like, all of the producers in that era of, like, entertainment were also, like, that's why people are, like, shocked that stuff gets buried. They, like, think that when stuff like this comes to light, a person will, like, vanish from the public eye. And it's like, no, you don't realize that, like, all the nameless faces behind it, like, that behavior wasn't just a few unconnected random entertainers. That like was the culture. And that's why they won't get fired. And that's why they'll still have projects, because all of those guys who haven't been caught or just didn't do anything quite as bad are still like in the industry.
Yeah, I mean, just Jerry Seinfeld was doing it, and there were so many quotes of, I mean, the same quotes with Jerry Seinfeld and his girlfriend are the same with Jeff and his, which is people saying, well, she looks young, but I'm sure she's 18 or over. And yeah, he's known for dating younger girls, but it's totally fine. So all of these people are kind of signing off on it.
Yeah. I mean, if their parents sign off on it, a lot of times the age of consent in a lot of states is still 16. That was the case in North Carolina with my friend.
God, that just like turns my stomach. Anyway, we obviously big enemy of the show, Jeffrey Epstein. We're now adding Jeff Ross as an enemy of the show.
Friend of the
Enemy of the pod.
Enemy of the pod. That's so great.
Yeah, so Jeff Ross, slide in if you have anything on him, because I'm ready to make
that
some TikToks.
You only have two enemies and they're both named Jeff?
Yeah, Jeff, we fucking hate Jeffy boys over here. I'm so sorry if your name is Jeff, enemy of the pod. Okay, let's move on to something a little bit lighter. No, I'm just kidding. We'll do
that
Leslie Jones.
That is such a bummer. I did make a lot of jokes about that. That was the first time that I had, and that was an incredibly detailed report, and that is like so sad.
It's incredibly
and
sad.
And I don't have like better words beyond that is sad. That is so common in the industry.
Yeah. So anyway, everybody let us know what you've heard about Jeff Ross, because I'm ready to talk about him. Leslie Jones, I fucking love her like Game of Thrones recaps that she used to do on SNL. This was an interesting one because I feel like it's kind of like comedian politics. It says the former late night actress who is beloved on social media ticked off her fellow comedians again this week. She has been in this spot before for pushing aside other comics for her own needs. This week she was supposed to stop after 5 minutes because everyone only gets 5 minutes. She took almost 30. She is running out of friends in the industry. Have you heard of her having a reputation for, like, this, going over?
This sounds like a non-comic, because, like, I think probably what happened was that there was a show where everyone gets 5 minutes, and Leslie fucking Jones dropped by.
Yeah, I was going to say she'd get more than five.
Gets to do however much fucking time she wants. It's Leslie fucking Jones. And all the comics were in the back, like, God damn it. And, like, we do that, too, when, like, a famous person comes through or, like, bumps you or is just going way too long. If I'm hosting for somebody at Comedy Works and for The Late Show, they decide to go way fucking over. Mm. And I'm like, I want to go fucking home. I want to eat ice cream. This sucks, but I don't think she's making any enemies over a 30-minute set that was supposed to be 5 minutes. Dane Cook goes to the Comedy Store and is supposed to have a 10-minute set and does like 2 fucking hours.
That's what I was going to say. It was like 5 minutes for Leslie Jones. It's like a TikTok
video.
People
get annoyed, but that's not like it's not like someone like was her friend in comedy and is like, that just crossed a line for me. It's like, no. You get to a certain level of success and you get to do however much time you want on like random shows like that. I assume it was just like a club that she drops into pretty regularly, like in New York, and no one's deliberately. I haven't heard anything about her. I don't know anybody who's worked with her.
So she doesn't have a reputation for like always going long or something.
She might be the Dane Cook of New York, the moderate Dane Cook. Because remember, Dane Cook, 2 hours is so different from 30 minutes. 30 minutes is like still within the same show. 2 hours is like you just fucked the whole night.
Yeah. Can we do Dane Cook real quick? Because I hate to say it, I think Dane
Cook. Speaking of someone with tiny, young fucking girlfriends.
Yes, he has. Okay, so he, what was this? His girlfriend's name is Kelsey Taylor. They are now engaged. I don't know if they've gotten married yet, but I know for sure that they were engaged. He basically says that he met his girlfriend the day after she turned 18, which is giving Jeff Ross's I was holding onto the Polaroids
they
for a friend. Like, come on.
The day after 18 is so, so, so funny. It's so funny.
They are a comedian. It's their best joke yet. It's just like wild to me. Anyway, so she was 18 and he was 45 at the time, which is insane. Mm-hmm. But I hate to say it. I thought Dane Cook was so fucking funny back in the day. The vicious circle, like his joke about how it's uncomfortable to like watch a woman masturbate in front of him because she looks like DJ Diddles spinning the clits of the 80s, 90s and today. I'm like, God damn it. Like he just said so many things that like, yes, it was high school humor, but I thought it was funny. But I feel like in the comedian
we
world.
You also have to remember that that was like some of the first comedy that you were ever exposed to because you had such a limited view. That's why like
no, but here, no, here's the thing.
With SNL is because like they become aware of satire at the same time that they are being exposed to the first satire they've ever seen. And so that's why adults will always say that SNL isn't good anymore and high schoolers will always say that it's the most cutting edge thing.
Maybe, but the thing is, like, I'm 30 and I still think he's so funny.
Dane Cook?
Yeah. So what?
Oh my god!
You don't.
You're the first person I met to be like, I love Dane, and more power to you, dude.
I just think okay. So I assume that
I
he doesn't
so
have
many,
a good.
I have so many female comics that I like that nobody else likes. That like everyone, not everybody. People will say that like certain female comics they like really hate their material, and even though it's hack, I'm like it's just so it makes me laugh.
Yeah. What do you think of Amy Schumer, by the way? Lover, hater?
I don't have any personal opinions about her. I really loved her sketch show.
Okay. What about Nikki Glaser?
Love her.
Me too. When she described her lippy vagina as a hastily packed suitcase, I was like, you just got 50% of the female population on your side. Cause you know, the beef curtain population is out here always going to love her. And now she's like talking about how much she loves Taylor Swift. I think she does a good job of being like a feminine comic, but then also like being a little bit crass, but teetering that line pretty well.
Yeah. Lots of people don't like anytime a female comic talks mostly about sex. And it's like, I wasn't aware we get to pick what we talk about. I thought we were just saying shit and waiting for a laugh. And usually the laugh comes when I'm talking about sex, dude. I'd love to talk about other stuff, but this is what it is.
No, I feel you. That's why I like Dane Cook. Like, what can I say? I just like trash comedy like that. Russell Brand, do you consider him a comedian or do you now consider him more of like an actor, podcaster?
I think of him as an actor, but I don't know that I've considered him too much.
Okay. Well, he was on here because, you know, he used to be a comic back in the day. Have you listened to his podcast now? He kind of has like a Joe Rogan-y type of like podcast that he does.
Oh, I've been taking testosterone. Yeah. Is that a fucking Australian?
It's so funny because like he'll talk, like he'll bring on politicians and like, talk about like very serious topics.
British politicians?
No, like American. He's like leaning hardcore into that.
It would be so funny if he brought on like Tories. I don't know if that's like, I don't know what current political parties need.
But no,
are.
He like lives over in like LA. He's like a hippie. I think he's like, you know, got a family now and everything. And he has this podcast studio where he talks about like moderate controversial type of politics. So this blind item here was basically saying that he was paid for a recent interview he did with a very high profile guest. I think he had on Ron DeSantis. Have you heard of comedians getting paid to have people on? Because like it's a big platform to come on.
Not surprising at all.
It's not for you. Okay.
No, I mean, I imagine that's what's happening with like, well, maybe not call her daddy because they probably benefit equally. But yeah, that wouldn't be surprising to me at all.
I've heard of people paying to go on Call Her Daddy.
Really? Yeah. Who?
I don't know anyone in specific, but I know that
like
for
it's
sure.
A PR. Some podcasts are like all about the content, and then some podcasts, and you can really clearly tell the difference. And some podcasts are like a PR factory. Like it feels almost like the PR agency set up the podcast.
100%.
To like run all their people.
Like all of the
like
questions for
machine.
Call Her Daddy are sent through beforehand and then approved, and it's just like a complete
and
authentic
and they're like,
factory.
Where were you born? They're like Hinge questions, basically. They're like
mountains or lake.
If
you know?
You had to be one type of pasta shape, what would you be?
But then it's Alex Cooper being like anal or missionary, you know, and like even that, it's like even with the sex, it doesn't get deep. Okay, let's do two last folks here. Louis C.K., what are your thoughts on him? Obviously, right, it came out that he was a serial masturbator, basically. And I have just heard from so many different people that he is still jerking off.
You're
it's
kidding.
Like he's obsessed with it.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. You haven't heard that?
No, because honestly, like Louis C.K. is one of those people where so in comedy, everyone has their own personal line for many different things, like who would I book, who would I work with, what clubs will I work for, what reasons, and everybody gets to come up with their own like moral code. And like I only really think about it if someone's drastically different than mine, but like I know like a lot of people in comedy like still work with him, and so I think that the people who work with him are usually like not as super like loud about working with him, which is like so funny because I'm like justice obsessed, so I'm like, say it with your chest. You know, I'll respect you more if you're like fucking Tyrion Lannister. You know, just like be who you are.
You mean Tywin?
No, Tyrion.
Oh, okay.
Like I love Tyrion Lannister because he's just like extremely consistent ethics.
Okay, Tyrion. God, I fucking hated him at the end. I'm like still mad about Game of Thrones.
Okay, but I've only seen the show, not the books. So
okay. No,
I know a lot of people work with him, but I think that those people like wouldn't talk about working with him to someone like me, probably because they would probably know that that would bum me out.
Okay, so you haven't heard the rumor that he's still jerking off in front of people?
No, I haven't.
Well, this was an interesting blind item. It says,
"But I don't think he could. I guess. Have you ever seen the movie Double Jeopardy?
No.
Okay. So there's this woman and her husband frames her for killing him. And she goes to jail because she's like toxic. It's very Gone Girl. He frames her for killing him and she goes to jail and she serves her sentence and gets out of jail. And it turns out that he just ditched his identity and is like living a great life somewhere else. So then the rest of the movie is she goes and fucking murders him. Mm-hmm. Because even if the cops get there and see that she murders him, you can't legally
send her back.
You can't be guilty of the same crime twice.
Okay.
So she's already served her sentence for murdering him. So she can just like murder him and there will be no consequences even if they find out. And
that's why he's jerking off?
If I was Louis C.K., of course I'd keep jerking off in front of people. What are they going to do?
Say that I jerked off in front of people?
Yeah, everyone's going to be like, no, you're talking about an old article. It would be weirder if he didn't.
Yeah, if instead he started like fingering his butthole, then people would be like, wait, that's new. We don't like it.
He's made it pretty clear that he has no real intention of like going through this like insane, like, I'm sorry, growth thing. Like, yes. He's just like doubled down. So like, this is doubling down for
him. Yeah, now he jerks off with both hands and he holds his balls with the other.
No potted plants in sight.
Well, this was a blind item. It says, why is it shocking that this pay cable channel Showtime is not showing the documentary about the A-list comic Louis C.K. and all of the awful things he has done to women? So I don't know if you heard about that, but there was a documentary about him that then Showtime dropped. This was a while back. And it says the parent company Paramount has employed the best friend Brian Robbins of the disgraced children's show producer Dan Schneider for a very long time. So Dan Schneider was the guy who basically ran all of Nickelodeon back in the day.
Yeah, I've heard so many
foot fetish man.
And also just like things in plain sight.
Yeah. So apparently his friend, Brian Robbins, works high up at Paramount and he was the one that was giving Louis C.K. a pass. So it really is this like protection circle that like goes on up at the top, which is wild to me. Now, very last one for you. Friend of the pod, Conan O'Brien. He's the patron saint of Fluently Forward. What do you think of him? If you say anything bad, I can't air this.
I think he's adorable.
Isn't he?
He was one of the comics that I was exposed to when I was in high school. So, and it was like the first time seeing like political satire. And I was like, oh my God, that's so fucking cool. And then I heard the story about how during the first writer's strike, didn't he like pay all of his writers?
Yes, out of his own pocket. And then they made him go back on the show because I think he had to employ his like production staff, but not the writers. So he just did all of these gags where he would like spin his wedding ring and do like random shit basically to prove that a show isn't good without writers.
That's so fucking cool with him. I mean, like, what is the point of getting incredibly successful if you can't also like create a legacy of like what you stand for and stuff like that?
I think he's great. Would you hit?
Yeah, I remember one of my favorite movies of all time is the rom-com. I think this is peak rom-com. Some people would call it
Crazy
Happy.
Stupid Love.
Favorite rom-com of all time, easy peasy. It's that genre done as well as it could ever be done.
Yeah.
And in it, they have the conversation where they're talking about fucking Conan Ginger Junk O'Brien.
I just think he's so hot. And that scene of Emma Stone and Ryan Reynolds, every time they're in a movie in a different decade, they just, oh God, the chemistry is off the charts.
I don't, I wouldn't say that I like find Conan genuinely attractive, but I have a kind of personality where I could like get it up for anybody who's like truly good at what they do. Yes.
I am with you. And also like I were probably related to him somehow, going back to the Irish and the drinking thing. So I'm not sexually attracted to him, but I would hit.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Anna, thank you so much for coming on. Let everybody know if they want to see you, because I know that you say that you're just traveling, but you are on tour and you are doing different shows. And if anybody wants to check you out, your handle is Hannah Jones Cool everywhere. Tell people about what you have going on.
Yeah, it's Hannah Jones Cool. I have a podcast, which is a great way to see more of what I'm like. I have a lot of videos. And then if you like me and you want to see me live, I will be in Chicago. That's the show that I'm really pushing really hard right now because it's selling a little slower than expected. Chicago, October 6th. if you liked me on this episode and you don't live in Chicago, just send that info. Send one of my reels to a friend who's in Chicago. That would be so cool. October 6th, you can find me everywhere at Hannah Jones Cool.
And you're a great follow on TikTok. I love everything you have to say on there. Thank you so much for coming on. You know, for a comedian episode, it was very pedophile-y, but you know, the blinds are...
That does not surprise me.
The blinds are what they are. So thank you everyone for tuning in, and we will see you next week for a lighter episode of non-pedophilic gossip of Fluently Forward. Bye, guys.